All right. Let's turn to Psalm 27 here this morning. Could we? Psalm 27. I'm going to start reading with verse 1. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. One thing I have desired, or have I desired, of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in the tabernacle, in His tabernacle, sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When Thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto Thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not Thy face far from me. Put not Thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God, of my salvation. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Father, thank You for these passages here this morning. We pray You'll bless as we stand to preach for a while. Pray You'd encourage somebody's heart here, Lord. I don't know if anybody needs salvation here or not. If so, Father, we pray You'll meet the need, open their eyes, get the wax out of their ears. Father, if there is something lacking in our own spiritual lives as far as saved folks are concerned, Father, pray You'd admonish us, encourage us, Lord, and we are glad that Jesus Christ stands ever ready. We ask You to help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now there's some sublime things in this passage, as you can tell. If you someday when you're discouraged, depressed, and down, this is a good passage to go to. Amen. My actual text is down in verse 8. I was reading through, and for some reason, it caught my eye in a way that it hadn't before. It says in verse 8, when thou saidst, when God said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Now, you know, we often speak here in Minnesota of people being unresponsive. We've certainly preached a lot on the street through the years. It's been now 24 years worth of ministry in public and semi-public and so on and so forth. Many doors knocked. Many of you still knock doors regularly. We've done all sorts of things like that. There's been a lot of flyers that went out, right? A lot of tracts get on people's doors. Brother Bryce has been laboring for years, sending letters to everybody in Fridley, and I think he's going to expand somewhere else now soon. And it's kind of depressing to him, I suppose, discouraging to him, that all too often he receives no response whatsoever. Amen? So we talk about folks here in Minnesota being fairly unresponsive, and I'd say that it's spread now to much of America. Amen? We've given invitations here for 24 years. And there's not that many folks I can name that have actually walked the aisle and gotten saved. But the fact is, folks, that the adjective unresponsive is not really the right adjective, is it? Because the fact is, folks do respond. They just don't respond like I want them to. They do respond. They don't respond like they should respond, right? And so I want to talk about that for a little while. I've learned that folks in Minnesota do respond sometimes quite quickly. And for instance, some of you have had a Thanksgiving here or there where you prayed and you've not been forgiven for the prayer you prayed yet. There are some of you that have family members or friends that have visited our church 8-10 years ago. They're still mad about what they heard when they came here. Kind of an amazing thing. My point is, folks actually do respond. They just don't respond like they should, right? Fact is, when folks slam a door, they respond. When folks ignore what you say in the gospel, they do respond. When they do something wrong, when they reject it or mock it, like folks are doing the Harold Camping camp now. I guess we're all in the Harold Camping camp. They're mocking us because we believe in the rapture. I mean, pie in the sky, we're going to get an elevator into the sky one day, right?
Amen.
That's exactly right. We are one day, we just don't know when. My point is, folks, in Minnesota, as folks here and even across America, as the lights go out, as things get dimmer and dimmer spiritually, folks actually do respond. They are very responsive. They just don't respond like you want. Now, I know that sometimes it's a long time between times we see somebody get saved. In the meantime, Christians are supposed to respond too. Let me ask you this. How are you doing as a Christian? Brother Stevens, I'm doing good. I mean, I am a King James Bible believer. I got my dispensations down. Living right, don't smoke, don't chew, don't run with those that do. I'm doing good. I really am. I mean, I got my doctrine pretty straight and all that. So I'm doing really good, and that's all fine, that's all dandy. But really, when it gets down to it, we complain about folks being unresponsive in Minnesota. How responsive are you? I mean, if you have any sense, when your sons and daughters are young, you teach them to respond when they're told to do something. In other words, when your 11-year-old son, you say, son, go take out the trash, and he says, wait a minute, I'm playing a game. That's not the response you're looking for, right? If you have any sense, you will train them to respond the way they need to respond so they can one day respond to God. But my question is, how do you respond? We expect our kids to respond well, right? When it comes time for your kid to apologize to her kid, you want your kid to have a responsive, sincere apology. Not one of these, sorry. That's not what you're looking for, right? So, how responsive are you? I noticed here in this passage, I got thinking about it. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. That is a nice response. Amen? That is a great response. I'd like to say that's the right response. Nobody here can argue with the fact that's the right response. I mean, the Lord says, seek ye my face. My heart said, thy face, Lord, will I seek. It's a right response. It's a pleasing response. By the way, it's an immediate response as well, right? When you tell your kid to do something, you don't want to see him still sitting there an hour later not having taken out the trash, right? You want an immediate response. You would like a response with a good attitude. This is a pure response. It's a profitable response. And I want to talk to you this morning for a little while about, and it'll apply to lost folks for sure. I hope it applies to everybody that's here. I've been saved 40 years. It applies to me, right? I want to talk about my heart's response, all right? And I know. I know most of you here are Bible believers. I know you're serious about it. I know your believing the Bible the way you do has in many cases cost you friends and maybe even a job here or there, maybe just relationships because of what you are. And I'm glad for that. I want you to know that. I'm not scoffing. I'm not looking down at anybody for what it's cost you. But I want to know how you're doing today. How does your heart respond today? I mean, how are you really doing? And I'm reminded here in this passage, the Lord can say a lot in a few words. Amen? So I want to talk to you about my heart's response. And I've got some descriptives here from this one verse. And I think you may be able to see it. First of all, in verse 8, when thou saidst, now when God said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Well, first of all, it's kind of obvious from the sermon title, but first of all, that is a response of the heart, right? In this passage, you have a response of the heart. Now, it seems rather obvious we would say that, but ladies and gentlemen, please don't forget, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And you know what that means? That means your heart is deceitful above all things. If you're lost, you've got a heart problem. If you're saved, your heart is the biggest enemy that you have. Your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. It says in Proverbs 19, it says, the The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. The best man there is, the problem with the guy is that there's a part of his heart that frets against the Lord. He doesn't like the reins. He doesn't like the bonds. He doesn't like the boundaries. He doesn't like the orders. He doesn't like the admonitions. He doesn't like the expectations. There's a part of every one of us that resents God's lordship over us, even if we are saved. So I want you to know, when the heart responds right, it's a good thing. You need to make sure your heart responds right. This is a heart response. Amen? It says furthermore in 1 Samuel 16, and this is all stuff you know very well, that a man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart, right? If you're interested in knowing what God's interested in, God is interested at times in the outside. What God is really interested in is what your heart says when God says something. Because, you know, I know a lot of folks that when God says something, in the end they'll go, well, all right. But they don't like it. Listen, in this passage, when the Lord said in verse 8, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. This is a heart response. What you need is a heart response. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, right? Everything depends on your heart before it depends on the outside at all. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. What the Lord wants is a heart response. So how you doing? Right? I mean, we expect, like I said, when my kid pops your kid's balloon, I'm going to make old Joseph stand up and say, he's sorry. And I want him to say it earnestly and sincerely and immediately, right? We had a bout with him when he was 2 years old. The Castellaws were here, and he accidentally, you know, flipped a piece of paper at her or something. It was not a big deal at all, so it shouldn't have been a big deal. Joseph, tell Mrs. Castellaw, you're sorry. There were many trips to the bedroom that night, and it was ugly. It was really, really ugly. And look, when my kid does that to your kid, I want the right response. Amen? We expect, when we make rules, fathers in our homes, that our children will respectfully honor those rules, right? So how you doing with the Lord these days? You think the Lord expects any different from you? Amen? You know what? I know Ellen mentioned it this morning, but the fact of the matter is that the welfare and the health of your marriage will largely depend on how you respond to your wife. And ladies, how you respond to your husband. If you're always surly, always murmuring, always, I'll do it but I don't want to, guess what? Your marriage is no good. It should be, but it's not. Amen? When it comes to your friendships, you don't keep friendships by having bad reactions, by having bad responses to your friends. Amen? I have this quirk. I only have one. I have this quirk. And the quirk is that if we're going to do something as a family, I want us to all be enthusiastic. So when I say, hey guys, y'all want to go out to eat? What I want is, yes! When I say, Marcy, you know, why don't we take Friday night? Why don't we go out to eat somewhere? I'm expecting a cheerleader here, okay? I tell you what I have a hard time dealing with. I have a hard time dealing with, I don't care. Where do you want to go? You know. If I say, you want to go to DQ, and my kids go, okay, we ain't going. You can forget it. When I say, hey church, let's have a picnic, I expect folks to do somersaults. And if you go, remember that May back a few years ago? Okay, we just won't have a stinking picnic. It's just a quirk that I have, and I'm not saying that God has quirks, but I rather expect that some of the things we expect in enthusiasm and response, responsiveness from our kids, from our wives, from our husbands, from our friends, I rather have a feeling God expects it from us as well. And I got news for you. There's a lot of folks, when the Lord says, seek ye my face, their heart's response is not, thy face, O Lord, will I seek. Amen? I want to point out something else to you in this passage. In 27:8, when thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Now, folks, that is not only a response of heart, that is a response of faith. Now, that may seem rather obvious to you, but the fact is, in our day, faith has been turned into this really mystic, esoteric quality that is really hard to achieve. It's like, you talk to a Christian, they say, well, I just don't have much faith. Well, why not? Well, I just don't have my... Well, it's not like trying to take a class in quantum mechanics, you know. It's just not that hard. Folks say, well, I just don't have any faith. And I'm supposed to respond. This is the way a pastor should respond. Oh, poor baby. And my response is, why don't you, you big doofus? Because the fact of the matter is, the reason you don't have faith is you don't pay attention to the Bible. For the umpteenth time, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you don't have any faith, as a Christian especially, it's nobody's fault but your own. It is your problem. I tell you, there's a lot of contributors to it. The Christian scholars and academics of our day have contributed a lot to it. They've taught us and told us the Bible never really means what it says. So when the Bible says something, God says something, you go, does that really mean what it says? And so you're left with having no faith. Well, I just tell you, folks, the Bible's true, and if you have no faith, it's your problem. It really, genuinely, seriously is. Now look, again, for the umpteenth time, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God said, seek ye my face. My heart said back, thy face, Lord, will I seek. That's a response in faith. That's God saying something, and me responding immediately at heart to it. That's really, folks, that's the key to the Christian life. I'm giving you the key to the Christian life here this morning. It is a response. It's the right response. One day, God walks up and says, Noah, build a boat. It's going to be this big, this wide, and this tall. And Noah says, okay. That in Hebrews 11 is said to be faith. By faith, Noah, right? Hey, Abraham, look up in the sky and start counting stars because that's how your seed's going to be. You're 90 years old and Sarah's 99. I'll grant you that, but that's how many kids you're going to have by her. Okay. That's faith, right? Rahab, hang a scarlet line out the window and your wall, your part of the wall is going to be the only part that doesn't fall down. Okay. So, folks, you know, the day comes and now I'm on the spot. And the Lord says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, as opposed to the evolutionists and everybody else. My response is, okay. And it's true. It's a response in faith. What God says is true, so just believe it. I mean, when the Lord says, Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, rose again the third day, okay. You're complete in Him who's the head of all principality and power. I'm eternally secure, right? Sealed by the Holy Spirit. Okay. Fine by me, man. My point is, ladies and gentlemen, now folks struggle with stuff, say they don't have faith, say they are weak in faith, because they don't respond to what God says. God said, seek ye my face. My heart said, Lord, thy face will I seek. Amen? It is a faith response. It's the right response. Where the Lord says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth. I can't find a single thing wrong. Okay. You know, I'm just a dumb farm boy. Okay. Guess what? You're going to do what you're told. Somebody's going to come along and tell you. I'll ask you this question. Because people say these days that folks' faith is failing. Folks have tons of faith. Folks have all kinds of faith. Carol Camping's crowd all believed him. Why? Not because he quoted them the right Bible. Not because he quoted them the Bible right. He built this whole monstrosity out of stuff. They did not respond in faith. They responded in delusion. Okay? Ladies and gentlemen, who gets to tell you what to believe? The weather terrorists tell you what to believe, and you run after them. They say, oh, the thunderstorm of the century's coming. You go hide in the basement. You believe them. Somebody comes along next week and says, coffee will kill you within the week. You'll throw the coffee out again because they're going to change their minds next week. But that's the way things are, folks. I mean, really, Stephen Hawking put his little bitty foot in his fat mouth here recently again and said that that heaven is a dream world. There is nothing past the point where you go unconscious in death. Got news from Mr. Hawking. You're never unconscious in death. Right? This guy, folks will crowd around and believe anything that folks say. Who gets to determine what you believe? Somewhere along the way, you say, well, I don't believe any one man. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You will believe somebody because somebody's going to tell you something. I got news for you. Faith cometh by hearing. And whoever you listen to, you'll wind up believing in time. If you listen to enough pro-Sodomite propaganda, you will adopt at some level a lot of that propaganda. If you listen to pro-evolutionary propaganda, you will adopt some of that propaganda. I'm really sorry, it's the way things are. Faith cometh by hearing. And I'll tell you this, the right kind of hearing comes by the Word of God. Who do you respond to in faith? I know folks that say they're Christians, and when God says something, they are very, very quick to poo-poo it. When it talks about, woman's submission, a wife being submitted in the home, or children's obedience, or this, that, or the other, whatever God says, those folks are really, really quick to dismiss because the culture's changed. Or because you've got the wrong manuscripts or whatever. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, when God says, seek ye my face, my heart should respond, thy face, Lord, will I see. That is a response in faith. It is a response of heart. And next, look in 27:8 once again. When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. And I want to say, and this has been somewhat covered already, I want you to notice that that's a response in subservience. I mean, when thou saidst, my heart said. When you said do it, that's when I did it. Why? Because you're given the orders, not me. It is a response in subservience. Once again, who gets to tell you what to believe? Who gets to tell you what you should believe? Because I'll tell you this. Every news anchor in this town will tell you what to believe. Every weather terrorist in this town will tell you what to believe. Every environmental wacko, every vegan around will tell you what you should believe. If you're not careful, some of you are moving in the direction where you're going to believe some of what they say. I want you to know, God should be the one to tell you what you should believe. Now look, folks, you'll snap to when it comes to the boss telling you something. You'll snap to when the environmentalists show up and say, the globe is warming a degree every 15 years or whatever. And that's given us all these disasters. Yeah, like earthquakes. I didn't know that temperature affected earthquakes, but I guess so. You'll respond with zeal and fervor when somebody says you should recycle. You'll respond with zeal and fervor when somebody says you should put away your leather and eat nothing but broccoli sprouts or whatever. Folks, some folks do respond to that. I'm just saying, folks, who gets to dictate to you what you should believe? Because somebody will dictate to you. Now look, in this passage it says, when thou saidst, when God said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, and notice, first of all, it's immediate, okay? It's immediate. It shouldn't take you 15 years to wrestle with what God said for you to determine you should obey then, right? Folks do that. I want to say, secondly, along that line, that it was unquestioning. It doesn't say they didn't argue about how this should be done. Look, seek ye my face. My heart said, thy face, Lord, will I seek. It's immediate. It's glad. He's glad to do it. We expect our wives and our kids, and in some cases our husbands, to respond immediately. when we say something. My question again, how are you doing? How are you doing as a Christian? I like things where I can get down to my Christianity. Sometimes my Christianity is kind of a thing where I lose track of the forest for seeing the trees, right? And I wonder sometimes in my own mind, well, you know, how am I really doing? Yeah, I'm preaching full time. I'm, you know, doing right. I'm not partying at night. True to my wife, all those sort of things. But, you know, when it gets right down to it, how am I really doing? Well, I'll tell you this. You can gauge by your heart's response. When the Lord says something, how do you respond to His voice? How do you respond to His voice? Notice in 27:8, one more thing, or not one more thing. I wouldn't want to mislead you. Yet another thing. When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. I want you to notice that is a response taken personally. Now, what I mean by that is notice carefully. We've gone through this with the King James Bible a couple times. Brother Martin gave us a lesson the other night in French, believe it or not, if you weren't here. But notice verse 8, when thou, talking about God in verse 7, right? When thou, because this guy's praying, David's praying, when thou, God, saidest. Notice what God said. Seek ye my face. Remember all those you's that Martin was talking about the other night? Well, when the Lord said, seek ye my face, that is second person plural. That's all of you. Seek ye my face. The response, though, notice, was, thy face, Lord, will I seek. My heart's response unto thee was, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Seek ye my face. My heart says, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Now, my point is, ladies and gentlemen, we have a problem, and it's just the way things are wired. We have a fundamental problem with having a Bible that says all the same things. I mean, we are advantaged by having a Bible that says the same things to all of us, right? We are disadvantaged in the fact that all the Bible, all preaching, is a general address, okay? And we human beings have this fundamental capacity to fade back into the herd. And it's easy for you to come into church, sit down behind somebody big, and hide and duck whenever something comes your way. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Duck behind Brother Kehoe. Brother Kehoe's big. Get behind him and you can hide out from the preacher all day. We have a fundamental herd mentality to things, and if you're not careful, that will control you. I mean, folks, religion nourishes the herd mentality. How many of you ever been to a Lutheran or Catholic funeral? Everybody at a Lutheran or Catholic funeral is presumed by the preacher to go to heaven, right? I mean, no matter what they did, so long as they were baptized right, we all are Christians and we all are going to heaven, unless you're a fundamental Baptist. But that's the way things go. Now, my point in saying all this, folks, is that I want you to notice here that this response is taken personally. I mean, this was addressed to the whole crowd, and one guy's heart responded. It's really easy for you to stand there and sit there and receive all this preaching, and you really like preaching and all that stuff. It's also really easy to call out what you don't like. It's really easy to make preaching kind of a buffet where you go to the dessert bar first and only get what you really like. That is not the heart's proper response. In this passage, Psalm 27:8, when thou, God, saidest, seek ye, all of you, my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. If I stood up here this morning and said, oh, folks, we have a problem. We have a plugged toilet back there, and it is really nasty. Would somebody please volunteer to go and unplug the really nasty toilet? You know what's going to happen? I got a spot on my shirt. Honey, look, I got a spot on my shirt. You do. You have a spot on your shirt. Hoping all the time that somebody's going to go, I'll go clean the nasty toilet. But nobody raises their hand. Now, if I, for instance, go to Paul Oberlander, I say, Brother Paul, I hate to ask you to do this, but there is a really nasty toilet back there. Could you please go and plug that? Paul probably would, but he'll avoid me for the rest of his life. That's the way things go, isn't it? I mean, that's the way we are. The Bible says, look, seek ye my face, the Lord said. My heart's response, thy face, Lord, will I see. Years and years, I deal with new evangelical, non-denominational Christians all the time. It is amazing. None of them seem to be able to find any verses in the Bible for separation. It's amazing. You can preach all day, but when it comes to separation, I was at an open house yesterday. They had beer there. They were Christians. They were King James Christians. That wasn't the Olsons, by the way. It was another open house. I want you to know. Want to be plain, it was another open house. It wasn't the Olsons open house. But I went to another open house. These were quote-unquote King James Christians. They had beer there. All right? Now, they take the verses on salvation. They take the verses on a lot of things. In fact, there's been an argument or two about some verses with this particular family. But somehow, when it comes to separation, beer, music, it's like that, right? You know folks like that, right? I mean, there are ladies and gentlemen sitting in Bible-believing churches all across the country today. When it comes to 1 Corinthians 11, I mean, they like New Birth. They like King James Bible. They like end-time prophecy. But when it comes to 1 Corinthians 11, you know what's in 1 Corinthians 11? You know what it is? It's the buffet mentality. I'll take what I want. It's the herd mentality. Oh, wives, be in submission to your own husbands. Hide behind Brother Kehoe. Get behind a really big guy and hide. It's the herd mentality. Ladies and gentlemen, how are you doing as a Christian? Really. What are your heart's responses? Christianity is in a mess, right? We live in perilous times. Things are bad. You see it going on all around you. You see the things being torn down. You see folks giving up readily their birthright. Why? Is it not because of their heart's responses? Is it not that the Lord says something and they go, oh. Say you're sorry. I'm sorry. Is it not something like that? Is it not that the Lord says something and nobody comes back enthusiastically anymore and says, Lord, thy face will I seek. We laugh sometimes because a lot of you guys came from the Roman Catholic background, Lutheran background, maybe Methodist background, where you had responsive readings during church, right? Now, you know, somewhere along the way, that was probably a good idea. I mean, if everybody was enthusiastic about it, the minister gets up and reads a portion, and then they enthusiastically come back and respond enthusiastically. Every place I've ever been where they had responsive readings, it sounded like a bunch of muttering fools. Right? My point, ladies and gentlemen, is that the Lord says something. How do you respond? You know, in the end, by the time it's all over with and you live 10 years as a Christian, some of it will show. You can get away with this for a long time, but you know, by the time you've been saved a few years, how you respond to God inwardly will show outwardly, either positive or negative, right? My question for you is, here we are Bible-believing Christians. We are King James Bible-believing Christians. We are dispensationalists. We have doctrine straight. We know Harold Camping was the wrong guy to listen to, right? I'm glad for that. But seriously, how are you doing as a Christian? Because this guy here, when the Lord said, his heart said back, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Right? How you doing? Look in chapter 27, verse 8 again. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. I want you to notice that it is a response undertaken earnestly. Seek ye my face, says the Lord, thy face, Lord, will I seek. It is an earnest undertaking. This is somebody that really, really wanted to. I want you to notice that they responded, the heart responded in simplicity. Look, there is no attempt to make brain surgery out of this. This is not a quadratic equation we're trying to solve here. Nobody tried to get around this with sophistry and semantics. They said, "Thy face, Lord, will I seek." I'll do it right now. I'll do it immediately. Right now, as best I can, I'll do it. It was sincere. It was simple. There was no sophistry. There were no semantics. The Lord said, "Seek ye my face." My heart responded. My heart said unto thee, "Thy face, Lord, will I seek." And lastly, I want you to see furthermore in verse 8 that it was a response in farsightedness. And what I mean by that is that, you know, when I walk up to Joseph and Joseph's sitting on the couch, and I say, "Joseph, take out the trash." Joseph doesn't have to be terribly farsighted to get that done. I mean, it's going to take 3 minutes to roll the trash bin out to the road, right? And I want you to know that whatever else can be said, that is not what this admonition is. It says there, "When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." This is not a job that's accomplished in 12 minutes, all right? This is something that is undertaken for a lifetime. In other words, this guy was given something to do right now, yes, but it was going to take him the rest of his life to really get a handle on it, right? His heart's immediate response was, "Thy face, Lord, will I seek." Now, these days the Lord gives us something to do, and we want to say, "Well, I want to think about it. I mean, after all, it might interfere with softball. What happens if the Lord wants me to do something the day of that hunting season opens up?" Right? That's how we think. That's exactly how we think. You know, we look at Abraham, who the Lord came to him and said, "Abraham, leave Ur of the Chaldees." Now, I realize there was a slight delay, but Abraham packed up and left Ur of the Chaldees. Look at Noah. Noah built a boat. That obedience cost Noah probably 70 or 80 years of time as he built the ark, right? We think about somebody like that who undertook this far-reaching goal, this thing that cost them a good portion of their lifetimes, and we admire them. We look at Levi, who the Lord said, "Follow me," gets up from the table and follows. You fishermen, follow me. They get off the boat and they follow. We look at those things and we stand in admiration that they do that kind of thing. I want you to know, God has given you that kind of thing as well. You've been given a great commission. You've been given a Bible. You've been given the secrets of God, right? You've been given, in this passage, one of the highest things you could ever do for the rest of your life. If you want Christianity encompassed in some few words, seek ye my face, right? God's face is found in the face of Jesus Christ. It encompasses fellowship. It encompasses sin. It encompasses then you getting forgiven for sin, being placed in fellowship with God. You can spend the rest of your life seeking God's face. And you should. So when God says, "Seek ye my face," and if my heart responds, "Thy face, Lord, will I seek," I understand that I'm taking on a job that's going to take me the rest of my life. Right? Okay? So it's a far-sighted response. You shouldn't be concerned about a far-sighted response. You don't want just nitpicky little tiddly jobs, do you? You don't want to give the Lord, you don't want the Lord to give you something. Did you ever work at a place where they kind of ran out of work? I was a carpenter for a while, and we had a couple of jobs that were winding down. They were trying to keep us all employed, and honestly, the most miserable days in my life were not days we were busy. The most miserable days in my life were the days that we were walking around picking up trash and making sure no extra nails were laying around and just making time sweeping floors that had already been swept and all that kind of stuff, right? God's not going to give you a bunch of stuff like that. God gives you something that you can throw your entire heart into for the rest of your life, and if you do it right, you're going to know Him better in the end than you did in the beginning. Seek ye my face. My heart's response was, "Thy face, Lord, will I seek." Again, all this is to answer the question, how are you really doing? I don't know how you're really doing. You can hide some of it from me, okay? I love you. I want best for you, right? I'm sorry some things happen the way things happen. There are other folks in this church praying for you. We want the best for you, but in the end, there's a lot of ways I don't really know how you're doing. because you've got all the stuff going on inside, right? My question for you is, how are you really doing? Come on, kids. Some of you guys graduating high school here in the next year or so. Some of you guys graduating high school in 2 years. Your parents look at you, and you know what they think in their minds and hearts? They go, I wonder how he's really doing. Because you can hide some things from parents. Not forever, but you can hide some things from parents. And parents sit around and wonder how he's really doing. Sometimes a sophomore or junior in high school looks at his dad and he goes, wonder how dad's really doing. Folks, you can sit where you're sitting here this morning and look at me and say, I wonder how he's really doing. Guess what? None of us can answer that but for ourselves. The Lord says, seek ye my face. What is your response? How are you really doing? Look, if your Christianity doesn't really encompass your fellowship with God around the Bible, around prayer, around commitment, around servanthood, how are you really doing? Only you can answer that. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Father, we looked at a simple verse here this morning and meant something to me this week, Lord. I pray you'd give us insight, not into other sinners, but rather into ourselves here this morning. And all of us have private lives. They should be private. We have private thoughts, and those should be private as well. But we're to be reminded, Lord, that there is no privacy from God whatsoever. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And Father, we are all animated at times by motives and intentions that are not noble. Asking you here that you'd give us some time of self-reflection. Help folks to look at themselves more carefully than they're willing to look at their neighbors here this morning. And Father, I'm asking that you'd give us some genuine, sincere honesty in our hearts about these matters. Let's remain with our heads bowed, our eyes closed here for a few. When thou, Lord, saidst, seek ye my face. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. I wonder how long it takes you to act on what you know you should act on from the Lord. When you hear God's voice in the morning in your Bible time, or for that matter, in church or outside of church, or when your wife reminds you of something, or when your husband reminds you of something, or your dad, or your mom, or your kid for that matter. And you hear the word of the Lord, you hear the voice of God, the Holy Spirit. Wonder how you respond. A lot of folks get mad. A lot of folks go into a complete acrobatic self-denial. They twist themselves up like a pretzel spiritually, trying to avoid the obvious. You saved? How you doing? How you really doing? Lord has this thing fixed where we can't be right with God. We can't be right with God for anybody else but ourselves. Each and every man, woman, child has to fight that battle themselves. There are things that advantage us at times in our upbringing, in our training. That's true. But in the end, each one of us, one by one, has to get right with God. Each one of us, one by one, has to hear the voice, seek ye my face. And each and every one of us has to decide in our hearts how we respond, positive, negatively, or neutrally. Thank you. please, that remain in prayer at the altar, would you stand with me, number 166, please? The altar is still open. If you need to come, feel free. Hope you will. Number 166. Obviously, you can tell I didn't give much heed to the late prophet here that his prophecies didn't come to pass. But you know, one thing about those guys that get overzealous in their zeal and so on, you know they want the Lord to come back, presumably for the right reason, maybe not. One thing it helps remind us, folks, is that any day, I mean, it could have happened yesterday. If it happened yesterday, you could well be standing at the judgment seat of Christ right now. Right? You could be answering for the things you did for the Lord, the things you didn't do for the Lord. And so, you know, I use these things a little bit in my own life just to remind myself somebody expects Him back yesterday. Well, it could have been yesterday. If it was yesterday, all the things we know now to be true would be coming to pass. And you would stand before the judgment seat of Christ, face the Lord with the things that you have to face the Lord with. Amen? Look, folks, it's not a game we play. We've all been given here a great amount of privilege in the things we've heard. The ground has been plowed over and over. It's not like none of us have anything left to learn. That's not true. But boy, the ground has been plowed a lot, right? The ground's been plowed and harrowed. We have just gone over things and over things and over things. We'll keep doing so by the grace of God. But none of us have any excuse not to be ready. Right? What a terrible shame if what it turns out to be is that we're really not ready. Because the Lord said, but my heart didn't respond the way it should have. I hope your heart responds the way it should. And I'll work on making sure that mine does. Amen? On the last stand. You being here this morning. We'll be dismissed. See you tonight at 6. Father, love you. We appreciate what you did for us. Thank you, Father, for continuing to deal with stubborn, stiff-necked people who oftentimes don't keep their hearts under very good rein. I'm the chiefest of sinners in this thing, Lord. I pray, Father, you'd make these things real to us. No, the rapture didn't happen yesterday as Mr. Camping said it would. But it could be today, it could be tomorrow, and one day it will be. So, Father, I pray you'd help us to take great care with our hearts as we endeavor to go back out in the world here today. And we look forward to what you're going to do with us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good morning.